Enjoy falling gas prices while you may.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. The price of oil has fallen hard lately. It was $147 a barrel this summer. Yesterday, it dipped below 70. So OPEC is holding an emergency meeting next week to talk about cutting production to boost that price. Carol Ahoyos covers the oil market for the Financial Times. She expects a production cut next week, but says it's not a guarantee.
Well, there are still some OPEC members who feel that they'd rather not add problems to an already faltering economy by trying to prop up oil prices. And there are two very different camps within OPEC. Some countries like Iran and Venezuela that need a very high oil price and that in fact can't really pump much more crude oil anyway. And Saudi Arabia that's much more friendly to the US and therefore will often argue differently. But the fact that they've called this emergency meeting in such a hurry does indicate that even Saudi Arabia may well now be on board to getting the ball moving.
What effect would that have on oil prices in this shaky world economy?
Now, if I knew the answer to that question, I would be a billionaire with my own island. But I think, unfortunately, it probably won't have as big of an effect as OPEC hopes it will. So far, OPEC is having to fight against some really bad news in the US as people drive less. And also, most critically, the engine of growth, China, and in fact, the Middle East itself may be slowing. So they've got a lot to make up for. And I think in the end, they'll probably be disappointed with the immediate reaction of the market.
What do falling oil prices do to exploration?
Falling oil prices may sound like they're a great idea in the short term, but in fact, high oil prices have moved money into alternatives and have moved money into further exploration of places like the Arctic and offshore Brazil. So when the oil price falls, generally these kind of amazing exploration adventures get put on hold, which is pretty dangerous because in the end, we could find ourselves in the same kind of situation of underinvestment that created the $147 a barrel oil prices that happened in July.
Carol Ahoyos covers the oil market for the Financial Times. Carol, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Asian markets are mixed today. Hong Kong is down sharply, but Tokyo and Shanghai are up. Major European markets are up 1 to 2%. The Dow roller coastered back up yesterday with a 400-point gain. As Americans struggle to pay their mortgages, Congress is debating ways to help people keep their homes. In Pittsburgh today, Senator Arlen Specter holds a hearing on how a foreclosure prevention program in his state might serve as a model for the country. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has that.
Pennsylvania has been experimenting with mandatory mediation. Before a foreclosure can be enforced, the borrower and lender must go before a judge and attempt to work things out. Senator Arlen Specter says the pilot programs help protect homeowners struggling with mortgages they can't afford.
Frequently there's a misunderstanding, sometimes there's misrepresentation or even fraud. And what happens on these mediation efforts is that they try to keep the people in their homes.
But Specter says many who qualify for the program are unaware of it. Same is true in New Jersey, where Kevin Wolf oversees the Office of Foreclosure.
When your property gets listed for foreclosure, you get 50 letters a day from people saying that they're going to help you. The court's letter might just be considered another one of them. We have to somehow get through that clutter.
Senator Specter hopes today's hearings will cut through that clutter as foreclosures continue to rise. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
We tend to throw the phrase Wall Street around as shorthand for our financial system, for the economy, for our nest eggs. But what's it actually like to be in the place these days? Reporter Sally Herships gives us a taste of what you might find in those eight blocks of Lower Manhattan.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Thanks to Gordon Gekko, people the world over have a very distinct idea of what Wall Street represents. Curran Palmer, Paulbinder Munn, and Susan Carey are in town from the UK. They know what they're looking for.
Business people in suits and big cars, Porsches, Mercedes, BMWs.
Yeah, and like people eating lunch at these really classy cafes where they charge $1 million for a sandwich. And they're still working while they're eating. The stereotype, I guess.
And what did you see instead?
Tourists.
Tourists and shoppers. People going to the gym, running errands, ducking in and out of the Starbucks, and the Tiffany's that recently opened at number 37. Retail outlets and residential buildings have sprung up on Wall Street as the big financial firms have moved uptown or out of town, and the number of men and women in business suits on the street has declined. Steve Fraser has written two books on Wall Street's history. He says when people talk about Wall Street, they're talking about a place and a concept at the same time.
As a metaphor for what American capitalism is all about, both in its worst aspects and in its best, Wall Street will always occupy a preeminent place in American life.
I mean, Wall Street's going to be Wall Street, you know.
Renu Sharma works in the area.
It's always going to be associated with financial institutes, but in terms of what Wall Street stood for, like 20 years ago, it's not the case.
Historian Steve Fraser's not so sure. He says Wall Street's residents may have changed, but its image is intact.
There's no place in the world that carries the emotional, political, economic significance in people's minds as does Wall Street.
Put it this way, you can take finance out of Wall Street, but you can't take Wall Street out of finance. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And I'm Bill Radke in Los Angeles and yet somehow in a New York state of mind. Thank you for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.